texted Megan yesterday, and what did I say? I was like, Eric looks like a kid who got lost at an amusement park. Or he lost his parents at an amusement
Which
park.
I loved because it's absolutely correct. Like his face and his demeanor is just almost kind of like he's very confused. He doesn't know what's going on. Like he just wants to find his parents and go home.
I'm Paige. And
I'm Megan.
And this is Spooky Science Sisters.
Hello, I'm Megan.
And I'm Paige. Welcome to episode 5 of Spooky Science Sisters. This week, we're going to talk about Skinwalker Ranch. This is the second part of a 2-part episode. So if you've not listened to episode 4 yet, go back and listen to that first. Before we start talking about Skinwalker Ranch, first we need to talk about our spooky stuff that happened this week. So, Megan, did anything spooky happen to you this week?
As a matter of fact, yes, something spooky did happen.
Oh, man.
I know, but it was very minor because it was literally just when I was editing episode 4, which is another reason to go back and listen to episode 4. Circa, I think it happens a couple times, but it's most noticeable circa like the 12, it's like 12:30 something minute mark, maybe a little bit later since we added the intro, but somewhere around there. I have like a straight up demon voice. Like you can hear like a deeper voice beneath my normal register chime in and say the same thing. And I'm sure it's like some weird microphone or sound thing that happened, but it's creepy. Like it literally sounds like if you watch a demon movie and it's like, well, the demon is, they're possessed and it's mimicking them. It's exactly what it sounds like. So go back to episode 4 and listen for my demon voice. Yeah, that's my something spooky. So we'll see if it happens again this week, because then it might be Agnes coming back to haunt me.
Oh, or maybe new me is making an appearance.
True. And now that things are opening back up, I do have to follow up more about Despondent Agnes to see if Spirit Story Box had anything legit.
Yeah, you'll have All to right. let us know.
Yes. Paige, did anything spooky happen to you in the past 2 weeks?
I know this is going to shock you, but no, I've actually had a pretty normal couple of weeks.
Wow.
I can't think of a single spooky thing that's happened. Now, I did find the demon voice in episode 4 pretty spooky, but this time it didn't happen to me.
That one sort of happened to both of us because Paige texted me while she was doing her like listen through of the episode to make sure that all the cuts and stuff that I made were good. And she was like, this episode is freaking me out. Like, what are you talking about? And then, yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, I know about the demon voice.
But that's it.
Yeah. And I could have tried to do something to the sound to fix it, but I was like, secret demon voice.
It needed to stay
in there. Yeah. Okay. Well, so that's something spooky, which I think that is like record time that we've ever gotten through it. So kudos to us. But normally it takes longer because you're
actually being haunted by something. Or
yes, that's like, should we be concerned? Which I think it was like, what, is episode 1 or episode 2 that you were told that you couldn't record the podcast anymore if more stuff happened, and then more stuff did happen before we did.
Yeah, I think that was episode 2, because I think that was the episode with the yoga mat.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, good thing
we're
you
still
didn't
doing
get
it.
Kicked out of your home. Keeping you around. Okay, so last week... it wasn't last week, god damn it, so 2 weeks ago we talked about more about the history of the ranch and focused on the stories behind it, but also spending a significant amount of time ragging on the History Channel show. So if you listened to that and you were mad because you really liked the History Channel show, it's not gonna get any better this episode. So you should just turn this off now. But this episode, we are going to focus more specifically on debunking the stuff that's happened around the ranch. And I guess mostly we'll be centering our discussion on the season finale, which aired on June 2nd. So almost 2 weeks ago.
I would like to start by saying that if you have not watched any of the season, just skip everything except for the season finale, because all they do in the season finale is talk about all of the things that happened in the 7 episodes prior to.
Yes, so it's literally...
Don't waste your time.
It's literally just a roundtable discussion of all the supposed evidence that they have recorded and found. And they're like telling it to the attorney general for the state of Utah or some shit.
He does not care.
No. Well, he... I don't know. I couldn't get a good read on him. But Paige was like absolutely prophetic about what they focused on for a significant amount of the final episode. And I guess the episode before that, because full disclosure, I did not watch episode 7. So the one before the season finale, because I just could not stand it. But then it was like, well, it doesn't matter because they're talking about all of it right now anyway. But Paige had said last episode that we recorded that I had asked about this cow that they show in like the first 2 minutes of the show. And they're like, oh, it's radioactive. Don't touch it. And Paige was like, that's what they're asking. I was like, did they come back to that? And Paige says, oh, that's what they're going to spend the entire final episode on. And it's like, you were fucking right. That is what they spent.
And it was nothing exciting.
Yeah, it was nothing. Like, we're going to talk about debunking it. And oh my gosh, it was the worst. Okay, you had mentioned starting with Bigelow a little bit, and I don't have anything super specific to say about the things that they observed. The things that the Bigelow team and the NIDS team, which was the National Institute for Discovery Sciences that he founded, and then they were active on the ranch. So I don't have anything specific to say about the evidence that they supposedly caught, just because so much of it was hearsay. So it's hard to say what is legitimate without having like some actual physical proof to look at to try to debunk. But I listened to a Monster Talk episode, which is another great podcast, where they did a couple episodes on Skinwalker Ranch, and they talked about the fact that, and I sort of alluded to this last time, that Bigelow purchasing the property and isolating it and putting so much control over it, like it's all locked down, it's like got armed guards and stuff, basically lends it legitimacy. Like it makes people think, oh, this guy is involved with NASA, he's involved with all this aerospace stuff, he's had these like Department of Defense contracts, this must be legitimate if he's purchased it and he's like trying to study something there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
What is happening in the background there?
Can you hear it?
Yeah, it's like a dog or something.
No, it's like my esophagus. I don't know what's going on.
What the fuck? Anyway,
I forgot where you left off. I'm so sorry.
Well, no. So I was just saying that the fact that Bigelow purchased it and isolated the property and like made it sort of this mysterious controlled site that was like locked down by armed guards made it seem like it made people think, oh, there must be something going on there. So it kind of just like lends to the mythology of the place and makes it seem more legitimate than it actually is.
And then absolutely.
Yeah.
Until he sells it. And then it's like, well, clearly he didn't find anything there. So
exactly. That's my whole thing with this is like, this is a guy who maybe seems like he's a little bit eccentric because he's involved with the To the Stars Academy. And yeah, so there's some weirdness going on there. But it's like if he actually found stuff, and like Brandon Fugel claims that, you know, they had this discussion or whatever about the ranch and that there was stuff going on there, like, before he purchased the property. But it's like,
Well, and doesn't Bigelow, I believe it's in that same episode of the podcast, the Tales from Rabbit Hole that we listened to, where Bigelow apparently said something about, like, he couldn't study any of it scientifically because it didn't repeat itself.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's actually I was referencing the Monster Talk podcast, which is just a couple guys talking about their ranch. But you're talking about the four listeners. Our good friend Mick West, just like this last week, released an episode of his podcast called Tales from the Rabbit Hole, which is an interview with Brandon Fugel, which I like felt like was pretty interesting and enlightening. So if you want to learn more about this, like, for sure check that out, and we'll be referencing that throughout this discussion. So the other thing that Monster Talk brought up was, so Bigelow buys it, he isolates it, puts it under all this control. But it's like, the other thing is that people try to act like, oh, this place is so unique and it's like the only one of its type. But that's not necessarily true. And for sure, this is like giving me ideas for future things that I want to talk about, because there's the San Luis Valley in Colorado, which has like also a 400-year history of UFO sightings and weird stuff going on. And then there's also Point Pleasant, New Jersey, which is the source of all the different Mothman sightings. And there's like, you know, a long history of all that and people that have looked into it. But it's like those places are not as exclusive. So I think like their point was people are less likely to see them as something real is going on here. But to your point, yeah, like if there was something real going on at Skinwalker Ranch, and we know that the government has this secret ATIP, Advanced Aeronautic Threat whatever program that the Navy's involved in or the Department of Defense is involved in, like I think they would lock that place down and like make it the new Area 51.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
They wouldn't just let some random Brandon Fugel purchase it up and do whatever he's doing with it.
Because it would be like a chance to understand.
To make a History Channel show.
Yeah. Like they're not going to be like, oh, we're going to let Brandon Fugel buy it and like make reality television out of it. It's like, no, they would treat it as if it's a threat to national security and lock it down. And like Bigelow, you know, wouldn't have been able to just sell it. So. Right. Yeah. So that, I mean, it's a long way of saying that there's weird stuff going on here, but I'm not convinced that it's, I mean, obviously I'm not convinced that it's aliens or like some sort of
or that
of
it's
portal.
All related.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's Bigelow. And from there, we'll just jump in to History Channel, Secrets of Skinwalker Ranch. The final episode, the finale, there's like two main themes that they cover. They talk about this dang cow dying, not getting killed, because you're going to find out like died of fucking natural causes. But they talk about this cow and the supposed UFO sighting. So there's kind of like UFOs and cow, and then the secondary big thing is all this EMF and energy readings and on the ranch, which per usual I have so many thoughts about. So Paige, did you want to start and chit chat about the cow?
As Megan kind of already stated, they start this whole season off with this darn cow. They make it seem like it's going to be this like big reveal at some point about what happens to the cow. And they show it in the beginning as if it's, like she said, some sort of mutilation. So you're expecting to come back to this cow and it just be, I mean, destroyed. Well, they come back to it in episode 7, or the episode right before the finale. And it ends up being all they talk about. And they have this woman come in. Her name is Linda. I have her last name, but I have to get my notes up. So hold on a second. Well, let me back up anyway, so that's perfect. Okay, so they find this cow, because before Linda shows up to the ranch, they bring a vet in. And Travis makes one of his really awesome comments, and he says, "We brought the vet in to see if the cow died because of natural causes, because cows die all the time, but they do not die all the time when there are crazy, weird electromagnetic signals all around."
That's right. There was like some, this is all, yeah, the cow really is everything, because it, like, there's weird EMF readings as well, or so they claim.
Well, and my thing is like, do you just hop over to every ranch where there's a dead cow and take electromagnetic readings, like, and for you to know that this doesn't happen all the time?
Do you know for a fact?
So they claim that, like, an hour or two before this cow disappears, they see her on the cameras, and she seemed fine. And then, obviously, they find her, you know, 2 hours later, and she's just laying by herself dead. So they call the vet in. Vet comes to the ranch. And I was, like, really disturbed by the fact that the vet cut the cow open with tree loppers. I don't know if that's, like, a normal thing for farm vets or, like, ranch vets to use. Maybe it is. That might be just a common tool. But it really, I didn't like it very
much. Probably. I mean, it's like, you know.
But, like, why'd they have to show us?
Well, because this is the only dramatic thing that's happened on this whole goddamn show.
So, basically, the vet cuts the cow open. It's just like, this cow died because of stress-induced pneumonia. Like, nothing special happened here. It wasn't like he had any, like, the cow had any bite marks or, like, that the holes or the eye thing that is missing with a lot of the cattle mutilations that they've seen in the past. It's just a dead cow.
Yeah, which, to the point of cattle mutilations, one thing that I came across, because I was like, oh, well, I should probably look into other explanations for cattle mutilations. So let's say that this cow, you know, actually was mutilated and didn't just die because it was sick and it was natural causes. The Monster Talk episode that I listened to, which was so good, I keep coming back to it, I know, but they were saying that if you have a corpse, like whether it's an animal or a person, that, you know, there are like microbes and bugs that move in very quickly. So like people find mutilated cows, and it's like Paige said, like there's no, you know, there's no blood, or like their eyeballs have been removed, or like in the case of, you know, and again, skip this part if you are sensitive, but like the one's like asshole got drilled out or whatever.
So sensitive.
I know, I'm sorry. I feel bad for the cow, but
it's probably dead before this happens anyway.
Exactly.
So that's
like
the good
it's been
news.
Dead for a while before its butthole got, you know, eaten by bugs. But things I never thought I would say to a public audience. But they invade the corpse very quickly, and like some even focus on like specific body parts. Like they'll like, oh, we really like eyes, so they'll munch out the eyes. And that's what the bugs are saying. I guess my trouble is there are some claims that, you know, that they've seen the cow a few minutes earlier and it was fine, and then like they find it and, you know, 5 minutes later it's like surgically gutted and it's dead and it has no blood or whatever. So that, I mean, that's tough because it's hearsay. So it's like, I don't know.
Well, also, like, even if it really were some sort of cattle mutilation, like, it doesn't necessarily mean anything more than just, like, some person walked in and killed that cow. I don't know.
Yeah, true. Like, there could be, I don't know if, like, cow poachers are a thing, but...
Well, I read that a lot of people have, like, suspect that it could be, like, a satanic cult or cults using... I don't know what they would be using them for exactly, but for some bizarre medicinal practices or black market organ traders, which I'm like, cow organs?
Yeah. Who knows?
So I'm not suggesting that's what I think is going on here, but like it's another option other than like some weird alien or paranormal thing going on.
Yeah. Well, and Yeah, it's Occam's razor, right? Like the simplest explanation is probably the correct one.
Right.
Like rather than being like, oh, it's aliens coming down and dissecting our cows. Oh, probably not. Oh, and then to the point that a lot of times they're like, oh, it's, you know, it had no blood or whatever. I had heard that when you're dead, when your heart is not, you know, your circulation system is not actively pumping blood through your body, like it's gonna pool on one side of your body and like congeal or thicken or whatever very quickly. So it might seem like it has no blood because it's all like pooled on the side of the body where you can't, you know, you can't see it. It's all drained to one side. So yeah. So there are perfectly natural reasons why a cow may appear mutilated, but it is not. Or yeah, it could be that it's people. It's like a hoax, or it's people doing crazy things, fucked up things. Anyway, back to the finale episode and
this darn and cow. This
darn cow.
So all of the things that you just said and all of the things we just discussed, Linda Moulton Howe would totally disagree.
Yes.
This is the woman who shows up to help them understand what's gone on with this cow. And she is a world-renowned expert when it comes to cattle mutilation phenomena. So that's something. Can you imagine, like, that's just what you do? You just like bounce from ranch to ranch and
study
cow,
but it's like cow, not cow like you can get a degree in cow mutilation, like so is that just what she calls herself? I don't know.
That's what they called her. Yeah, that's I think what I believe Travis called her. So yeah, it's probably just what she calls herself.
Yeah.
She states that it's not a classic cattle mutilation. There are certain things you typically look for in a cattle mutilation, which we've already talked about some of them, but one of them she said is the sky facing head. Typically, I guess their heads are faced in a certain direction. So she doesn't see this as a classic cattle mutilation, but she does say that it's a large 2-year-old, otherwise healthy looking cow. So the vet seemed very sure that all signs led to pneumonia. This woman is saying, no. Like it's not your classic cattle mutilation, but this is a healthy cow. Mm-hmm. And then she suggests at one point that they may be starting a new cycle for cattle mutilation. So like, while this isn't the classic cattle mutilation, that because we've started seeing some like weird behaviors with the other cows have like, they've all grouped together. So I guess, I don't know. I see cows like that all the time. I guess
I know. Weird. Yeah. They're like, oh, the other cows were all on the other side of that field or the other side of the ranch grouped together. And I was like, that's what cows do. Like they are herd animals. They just... like they hang out together. And like, that's just classic animal behavior for one who's sick to get left behind or get separated from the rest of the group. That's just what happens.
They do not leave it alone, though.
I know.
Like, they talk about it the entire episode and then the entire next episode about how it's so bizarre that these cows are all grouped together.
Yeah, but they're,
every cow I've ever seen is doing it.
Yeah, there are several times during the show where they say that the cows are behaving oddly and they're, you know, running away or something spooked them or whatever. And I was like, they're cows. They're doing what cows do. Like nothing here seems unusual to me.
Aren't cows like really stupid anyway?
I mean, yeah, I think they're not the brightest animals. I would suspect they probably spook pretty easily. Like I don't think the cows are sensing some like otherworldly presence here. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, the fact they're so focused on the fact that it's weird that this cow is laying down by itself and it's like, it's dying of pneumonia, you buttholes. Like
it was just sick.
I know. And like
But then
Yeah, go ahead.
But then things take a real turn when they're watching some of the video footage.
Yes. Yeah. So we find out that they have surveillance footage of this cow dying, which like these people clearly, like that is the part that should make people upset. Is these people don't seem like they give a shit about the animals at all. Like the alpaca
they don't.
incident and this. What are you doing? Anyway.
They don't care. Yeah, so they're watching this surveillance footage, and I know everyone will be surprised. They find what they think is a UFO floating like right above kind of where the cow is dying. And at one point, the cow like lifts its head or something, and I guess like the UFO just moves at the exact same time. So
yeah.
Well, what they suspect is a UFO moves at the exact same time, and they like lose their shit.
Yes.
Now they are convinced that something is happening.
Yeah. So this is like a black UFO, and they actually say, like, they bring up the Department of Defense, like Tic Tac and Gimbal Navy videos that we discussed in episode 3, because they like talk about it having a halo around it, like a lighter colored halo, that they claim is like some temperature differential. And it's like, it's probably just image correction or distortion of this like very shitty video you have of it. And yes, like Paige said, you see the cow like lift its head up, but it's like, it's probably just trying to breathe because it's dying of pneumonia. Like, have you ever choked? You like stretch your, if you see like an animal choke, they like stretch their neck out like that because they're trying to like elongate their throat and clear up their airway. So you're just watching it struggle to breathe because it has pneumonia. Like, I sound like a crazy person right now, I know, but I was like, come on, this is unreal.
So then the McWest interview with Fugle, they talk about this UFO sighting.
Yes.
And this is the one that they like talk about just being a fly.
Yeah, so good old McWest, like, and the Metabug forums. He's like, obviously just relentlessly always the skeptic, but it was such a good episode. So this is, again, his Tales from the Rabbit Hole podcast and the interview with Brandon Fugle. Yeah, McWest was just like very level-headed the whole time and just listened and like definitely challenged him, but like in a very level-headed way. And it was interesting to hear Brandon Fugle talk because like he seemed, you know, very like even keeled and articulate and maybe didn't have the best answers to stuff, but
he admitted to that. Like he made several comments about like, I'm not an expert and I don't have any right to speak to this. I thought that was nice to hear.
Yeah.
That
like
just
he,
making up answers.
He definitely deferred to like the fact that he's not an expert and like he trusts the opinions of the people that he has hired to investigate this stuff. Anyway, so that's kind of an aside, but they talk about this UFO sighting and the cow, and McWest, like Paige said, says like, oh, I think it's like it's just a fly on the video footage. And if you go on Metabunk and you look at his forum post about it, it's like he shows – so one of the things they talk about with this is like, oh, it like in one frame of video footage, it moves – 1,000 feet per second or something, like you see it shift on the video footage. And that's assuming that it's like very far away or off in the distance and very high up. But then like he in like GIFs on the forum, he shows, here's a video of a fly that's out of focus flying in front of the camera, and it's like it's the exact same thing.
It's a fly.
So it's a fly that is like it's much closer to the camera than you think it is. And it makes it look like it's really far away. So sorry, the cow was not reacting.
Just
to it.
Died of pneumonia.
Yeah, the cow died of natural causes. It was moving its head because it was trying to breathe. There was no mutilation here. And even if there was, like, unless you saw on the video the cow like suddenly get mutilated, like I'm not gonna believe hearsay. But yeah, so anyway. This is gonna be one of our more aggressive episodes because I just, this show,
it's there, just so everybody knows, there's a season 2 coming out.
Yeah, that was another thing that we learned in this interview, is that they're like filming another season right now. I was like, oh, were they? And it's gonna be the same thing. It's gonna be, they're not gonna find anything. Like,
it's just gonna be 10 episodes of a whole lot of nothing. Yeah,
whenever it releases, which we'll presume, because it was like a year between them filming and them releasing this season, Paige and I are not gonna watch any of the other episodes. We're just going to watch the finale, and that's going to tell us.
Hey, speak for yourself. I'm watching the whole damn season.
Well, Paige is going to watch it. I'm only going to watch the finale because I've learned my lesson. I'm going to get all of the information I need. Okay, so we've covered, yeah, that UFO. We've covered the cow, which died of...
Sorry. Yeah. I just saw in my notes where all I wrote was, Mick West says this UFO was a fly. LOL.
I have similar things. Where did I write that? Oh my gosh, Paige. That is creepy. So claim from video footage. So here's my notes. Claim from video footage that UFO moves 75 feet to the right in one frame. So it's moving over 1,000 feet per second. And I like wrote dot, dot, dot. Feels like something Mick West could debunk, which obviously he did. My next bullet point is, in interview, Mick says that it looks like a fly. Ha! So yes, I was also like so tickled by the fact that he took the time to debunk this as like something totally mundane. I didn't write LOL, but I was just like, ha!
Ha!
Okay.
All right, that's the cow.
Yeah, so that's the cow, and that's that UFO. And they do see other flying objects in the show. So earlier... I think it's
the helicopter
episode. Well, there's that, and then there's episode 4, maybe they see a different UFO. Yeah. And that one I didn't look as close yet, but Mick was pretty much like, it's a drone or a plane.
Well, and like he looks into like the dates of when Eric Bard so you know how like in the episode Eric Bard goes in and he's like, well, we saw the plane, and then we saw this other flying object over here. Yeah. And when we looked up the plane on the, what is that called? Like the tracking, the air.
The flight tracking thing or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
When he looks it up on there, they can't find another plane. So Mick looks at like the dates and the times at which it was like the video footage was recorded. Mm-hmm. And then when Eric Bard looks mm-hmm. to see if that second plane is on like the tracking, and my understanding is that he's suggesting that like the producers fabricated what day he like Eric needed to go back and look to see if they could find that second plane. Oh. So that he wouldn't find it, because when Mick went back and looked, like he found several times where two planes were flying over the ranch. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And then there's also in one of the episodes, which they talk about in the finale, this like helicopter. And they freak out about it, and they think like they're under some sort of like secret, you know, mysterious surveillance or whatever of the ranch. And Mick also went in and like looked up the what it could possibly be. And it was literally like he found that it was a helicopter doing like a power line survey. So it's not like mysterious surveillance. It's just like the helicopter happened to maybe fly a little bit out of its normal path, but yeah, it's doing something totally mundane, and they freak out about it. And it's just like, it's like we talked about last time. It's frustrating because like when they blow stuff up like that and And throughout the interview between Mick West and Brandon Fugel, like, Brandon Fugel just keeps coming back to, like, oh, well, that's just the way they edited it. Like, you didn't see everything behind the scenes. And it's like, well, that's annoying.
Well, also, like, no. They straight up were stoked about that helicopter.
Right.
I don't care what they did for the editing. Those people thought that something crazy was going on with that helicopter.
Well, and I mean more so with respect to, like, the other things that they see, or the supposed experiments that they try to do. Like, he kind of points out that those aren't super scientific. Yeah, so that's like both UFOs and the helicopter are just mundane stuff. And I think that's like when we talked about UFOs in episode 3, there are a huge number of UFOs that are seen, and we touched on this last episode. There are a huge number of UFOs that are seen in this area, like in the Uinta Basin, and like that 1960s book by Frank Salisbury, like, he couldn't figure out, you know, he had several out of hundreds that, like, he thought were legit. Like, he couldn't ascribe some other, like, some normal thing to them. So I don't know. It's annoying because, like, it's the show doesn't do anything to debunk those, or not to debunk them. The show doesn't do anything to, like, make you think that they've seen actual UFOs on the ranch, because in my eyes, they're pretty clearly just, like, other things that they're blowing out of proportion. And yeah, and it's just annoying because the other stuff is all hearsay about the ranch. So, like, you can't. Like, there's no proof. There's no physical evidence. So I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this. I just know that I'm annoyed by it.
I just know that this show was terrible. And
yes,
I'm annoyed by it.
Yeah, yeah. So the other big theme of this finale, and, like, definitely a theme of the entire show, was the whole discussion that they have and all these supposed measurements they make of electromagnetic fields and radiation and, you know, non-ionizing and ionizing radiation. And I just sort of think it's a whole lot of baloney. Did you have any specific thoughts about that?
Other than it just being baloney.
Other than it being baloney, yeah.
No, I mean, they were like when we talked about ghost hunting equipment, they rely so much on, like, these EF or I guess RF measurements.
Yeah. Yeah, the, like, tri-field EMF meter that they have.
And it's, like, it's just the same shit. Like, they've got phones. Mick West talks about how, like, they've got wireless microphone packs on them all the time.
Yeah.
There's cameramen. I don't know.
Yeah. It's just... Yeah. Well, exactly. Like, it's they're relying so much on these meters, these tri-field EMF meters. And Mick West makes the point that it's, like, these are the same things that get sold to, like, to people who are paranoid about EMF in their homes, and they only go up, like, they max out at a pretty small reading, like 20 milliwatts per square meter is what he says. And so you see it, like, you see the meter, like, max out a bunch of times, but that doesn't mean it's a high reading. It's just that particular EMF meter doesn't go very high because it's, like, looking for pretty small signals. And, like, even if it's a fairly isolated area, like, they've still got all sorts of electronics out there. He points out that the highest reading that good old Mick saw while he was watching the show was, like, 18.9 milliwatts per square meter. And the current World Health Organization exposure limits are, like, 9,000 milliwatts per square meter.
So close.
Yeah, and like wireless mics can be like 200, up to like 250. Or like if you, I saw some suggesting that like if you had cell phones that were like searching for service, like that would potentially make them put out a higher signal. So it's like, it's all, yeah, they're just measuring, I think they're just measuring the electronics that are there.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, Mick West talks about the comment that Travis makes about when he gets like a reading of 14. And he's like, this is like being inside of a microwave. 2 or 3 is what you'd get if you were like standing outside of a microwave. Mm-hmm. So if you got 14, like that's like being inside.
Yeah.
Mick West is like, no, like I get a reading of like 20 when I'm close to my microwave. Like this guy is just saying something to make it sound dramatic rather than like actually.
Yeah.
Actually doing
yeah science. And like to his credit, you know, it's like we said, Brandon Fugel keeps his cool and says, you know, he trusts Travis and like the other scientists to know what they're talking about, but to me it just seems like they're trying to make TV, which is frustrating because it's like it is a weird place, and whether or not, you know, any of it's legitimate, which I argue probably not, because Bigelow wouldn't have sold it if it wasn't. Yeah, it's this is not the way to figure out what's actually going on. Okay, so there's the EMF, the electromagnetic field, or the energy on the ranch, and I don't know, they do this like weird visualization where they're showing it like shining out of the ground and like centering over the ranch and across the basin, and it's all very silly. And it's all very silly. And there's all the discussion of like of getting exposed to radiation. So like microwave radiation is non-ionizing, and then like I said last time, there's ionizing radiation, which is the stuff that's associated or created by a nuclear blast or nuclear reactors. And that's the stuff that, you know, is going to be really dangerous for people. And we are waiting for kind of a follow-up from a friend of mine who works in nuclear forensics, but like it's literally her job to trace like signatures of various radioactive materials and see if there are associations with enriched uranium, like where did it come from, like which plant was it enriched at, which is super cool. But yeah, like they talk about various things with radiation that are just not really above board, and we'll come back to this the next episode that we record once we get some answers from her. But like at some point, Travis suggests that there's like an association between like microwaves with nuclear radiation, which I'm fairly certain is 0% a thing. And he mentions that early on, because I think he's trying to talk about other explanations for what people are seeing on the ranch. So he talks about like being downwind of the like Manhattan Project Nevada test site, so where they were detonating atomic bombs, and there are, I mean, it's very sad, like there are people that they call the downwinders, which are people in Nevada and Utah that like the government pretty much said like, oh, there's nobody who lives here, but like there were communities of people who got exposed to, like, they have higher rates of cancer and everything because they got exposed to radiation from these blasts. And so what I want to find out to get a more expert opinion is, so the places where like the downwinders are like in the southwest corner in an area around like St. George, Utah. And the ranch is like in the northeast corner. So it's like the opposite side of the state. So And the way that fallout works is the concentration, I think, goes down as you get further away from the blast. So yeah, so like I'm not convinced that they were at all close to get like legitimate amounts of radiation. But these are things that like the EPA still monitors radiation from these tests that took place. It is just like, I want to know, like, let's say that they did get some sort of dose of radiation from these blasts, would there be enough that it would cause problems? Like Travis claims that he has like this like cyst or bone spur or whatever that he has to have removed from it.
And would it still be like that dangerous?
Well, exactly. Like I think most of the like it's the short-lived isotopes. So, well, we're not going to go into all the, it's the short-lived radioactive isotopes that are...
Go into it. That's what I had this question. Oh. I need to know.
Okay. So we're going to get real sciencey here for a minute. So when something is radioactive, what's happening is you have a configuration. So you have an atom, right? We all kind of learn this in middle school, high school. I don't know. When do you learn the Bohr model?
High school, sophomore year.
Whatever. So right.
I made that up.
Whatever. So an atom, right, has a nucleus, which contains protons, which are positively charged particles, and neutrons, and then it has a cloud of electrons, which are negatively charged particles, around it. So the number of protons in it determine the number of that element on the periodic table. So they're what determines like what it is. And the number of protons plus neutrons determines, well, its mass, but also what isotope it is. So the neutrons are there basically to put space between the protons because they repel one another because they're both positively charged. Like if you've ever, it's like a magnet. If you've ever tried to stick two of the same side of a magnet together, they repel one another. So the nucleus of an atom works the same way. And there are multiple configurations of protons and neutrons for each element that work, but some of them are unstable, which means that you are ejecting particles from the nucleus. And that is radioactive decay in a layman's terms. Okay. So sometimes that is, you have like very long-lived radioactive isotopes that decay over like billions of years. And sometimes you have very short-lived ones that like are only stable for like a matter of seconds before they decay into something else. You know, seconds or even like tens or thousands of years would be short-lived. And it's the short-lived ones that are the most dangerous when it comes to like a nuclear blast, and, you know, are going to be decaying the most quickly and most prevalent when you have a nuclear blast. So I think those are the ones that are more so like that's what's going to melt your skin off.
Okay. So likely at this point that if it were like, it's not going to be that.
Yeah. Like at this point, in a matter of like days to like weeks after this fallout has happened, like most of that stuff is gone. And yeah. So like that was my question though, because I'm not like an expert in radiation exposure. Like I just, this is what I've read so far. So I'm hoping to get a second opinion, but just to know, like, let's say that there was some significant portion of nuclear fallout that fell in this area. And like, yes, it's been too long for like those short-lived isotopes to be a factor, but are there longer-lived ones that like, oh, let's say they dig a hole in the ranch and they like disturb whatever layer, you know, is under the ground or that's been buried over time. You know, is that, are they going to stir up anything measurable or noticeable that could cause health problems? So that was my question about all the radiation stuff. But it's also like to the point of, if you think that something is like radioactive and like burning people on your property, like call in a fucking expert.
Right. Well, and like stop sending people into it.
Yeah, right. And I guess they do, like they give them those monitors or whatever that they're supposed to carry around with them, but they don't really ever do anything with them. Like, they're like, oh, look, right. My meter's reading something, but then they don't actually move. So, yeah. So, I mean, say something. Or, like, there are probably people from the government who, like, can come in or and take measurements to, like, make sure that this is not a general, more general health problem. So anyway, so that's my PSA for this whole situation. But we'll hopefully have more answers on, like, you know, whether or not this could be an issue. But the point does remain that it's like radiation is like not related, or nuclear radiation is like not related to microwaves, and it's not making people hallucinate and see weird shit. So, you know, which I guess maybe lends legitimacy to the stories behind the ranch, because then it's like, well, maybe people really are seeing stuff. They're not just hallucinating. But that's a whole other thing. The other thing that I thought was like, okay, what if there's like a geologic explanation for this? Like, uranium mining is actually, at least was, a big thing in Utah. And if this was like and if you had like a hunk of uranium ore, or a rock containing a significant amount of uranium, like, it's going to set off a Geiger counter. So, like, it's going to give you readings. Or, like, if the cows were eating grass, like, growing out of radioactive soil, like, they're going to set it off. So my question was like, okay, so they've got all this weird supposed radiation that they're measuring on the ranch. And again, I have no idea like what the levels are that they're measuring. I haven't paid close enough attention to their meters to know like if what they're saying, like they're exaggerating the EMF and its effect. So like, for all I know, you know, they're freaking out about normal background levels of radiation. But like, let's, you know, what if it's related to natural uranium in the rock and the fact that they mined uranium in Utah. And so I went so far as to look this up. And I know.
She's putting the science in spooky science.
I know. This is getting very scientific, but it was going to eventually. And if people aren't here for that, then, you know, it is what it is.
GTFO.
Okay. So what I found was this publication from the 70s called that was prepared by the USGS, so the US Geological Survey, and the US Bureau of Mines. And it was for the Indian reservations in the area, the Native American reservations in the area, but it's called Preliminary Mineral Resource Study of the Uinta and Ouray Reservation, Utah. Because I thought, you know, like, yeah, there's been mining in Utah. Yeah, there's like current interest in potentially reviving that, but is that a thing in the Uinta Basin? And they said that there are uranium deposits in the area, I think associated with like copper deposits, but they're not economic. So when you're talking about ore deposits or oil reservoirs, they will categorize them as like the lingos, like they're economic or non-economic, meaning that like you could mine it, but there's like not enough there, or it's too difficult to get to make it worth it economically. Gotcha. So yeah, so like there might not be a ton, but like there is uranium in the area. And my question was like, well, maybe the ranch is just like a locally higher concentration and this is a totally natural thing. So one of the other follow-ups that I had that we'll hopefully get back to in 2 weeks is I know that there are like specific signatures, isotopic signatures that you can measure that let you trace like whether or not radiation is from a natural source or if it's from an enriched source, which would be associated with a nuclear blast. So I have a lot of thoughts about the radiation on the ranch. And here's what you need to know, people. I did, for my PhD, a large portion of it was using uranium and thorium isotopes. So thorium is one of the shorter-lived isotopes in the uranium decay chain. And I use them to look at processes in a magma chamber, or to trace processes in a magma chamber leading up to an eruption. But yeah. So I have like a smidge of background in this, but I'm not, you know, I'm not involved in nuclear forensics. So I know enough to get myself in trouble, basically, when it comes to this kind of stuff. So these are the thoughts that I have. And, you know, I'm hoping that we can spend, you know, a couple minutes of our next episode just coming back to this a little bit, because I want to get the expert opinion. You know what I mean?
Know what you mean. I'm looking forward to it.
I could talk forever about nuclear stuff. it's true. Okay. So yeah. So long story short, I got frustrated because it was like a lot of claims that they make about the energy on the ranch and the electromagnetic fields and the potential for ionizing radiation and the gamma rays or whatever they're getting exposed to, like, just are not at all consistent with how radiation exposure actually works and like what I, at least what I think is possible from what I know and what I was able to find about the ranch and the area around it.
Well, so, if you ask Brandon Fugel, he would just say that it was because it was edited a certain way. And actually, they do know what they're talking about. The producers just messed it up.
Yeah. Never mind that none of the people working there are experts in or did their PhDs in nuclear forensics. So.
Right. That's fine. They know. They know.
They definitely know. Geology just led me down a whole other rabbit hole, because there is, and we talked about it last time, there's a lot of, and like right by the ranch, like over the ridge, there are active oil fields where they're drilling for oil, and some of the weird stuff associated.
Well, that right there could be the reason for the VOC spikes.
Oh, you are totally right.
And they freak out because at some point they're doing, I don't know, like you said, they're doing some sort of air monitoring, which I just super don't remember.
Yeah.
And at one point, one of their meters spikes to like, what is it, like 3,600 parts per billion, which, I mean, is definitely, I mean, I'm pretty certain like that's a pretty high level. Yeah. But
this is earlier. They go in, so this is an early episode. They're up on the ridge. And like the ridge part of the ranch, and they go into like this little, I forget why they pinpoint on it, but they go into like this little cave area. And yeah, they've got some other guys that they brought in from outside that are doing some sort of like air quality monitoring / EMF monitoring. It was a little unclear. Anyway, but yeah, and also, in case you don't know, VOCs are volatile organic compounds. Right?
Is this this? Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're the chemist. I don't know.
But yeah, it's like if they're doing, there was like an industrial area nearby or, yeah, oil or gas extraction, like that's probably why it spiked. But they like totally freak out about that too, which is not entirely surprising.
Yeah. Well, and VOCs are like kind of controversial. Like they're used in like a lot of scented products, I think, like air fresheners and stuff like that, and they're maybe not great to breathe in. Like, I don't know if like the whole like popcorn lung vaping thing is sort of related to this or not.
That's actually a good question. I mean I would imagine so.
I don't know,
but I know like paint strippers and paint, like that's the concern there. A lot of them are carcinogens, so it's like they're nasty. They're nasty.
They're not great. Yeah.
They're not great for you.
Yeah.
And like we have to do, like even at work, like we have to make sure that, you know, we're not emitting like a certain, over a certain threshold every day or every month or whatever. Because the EPA has restrictions around it. So yeah,
as they should. But and it's also worth pointing out that what they measure is like a momentary spike. Like it's not like a consistent level. So to me, that just seems like a false reading on their instrument.
Potentially their equipment's just freaking out, which it does throughout the entire season. So
yeah, I mean, good point. The whole time they're like, oh, our phones are freaking out, the batteries are running out, the whatever. It's like, well, who says that was a real reading then? Like, how can you trust any of the readings? Which I guess was Bigelow's whole point, is that you can't do any science because you can't reliably measure anything. But
right.
But also, probably there's nothing going on. yeah.
Was there anything? Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask if you had any opinions about some of like the health things that people had going on, like the whole Tom Winterton, which I think we talked about a little bit maybe last episode, where he had like the knot on his head. And
yeah. Well, yeah. I think for me that like, because all the health stuff, they pretty much, they attribute it to like, yeah, to the radiation stuff that I was talking about. So to me, it's like I said, it's like, if you think that there's enough radioactive or some source of radioactive material on your property that it's like a public health issue, like somebody else needs to know about that.
Right.
So I guess that was basically my general thought about that. And I know from talking to my friend who works in nuclear forensics, like they get sent items that people have that, you know, that people like find, you know, in their basement or in their attic or whatever, and is like some piece of very radioactive material that somebody who like used to work at a facility where they enrich stuff or whatever, before, I don't know, OSHA was a thing, I guess, that they like took home, and now like their relatives find it and they have to go through and make sure like, oh, which plant did it come from? Like, what's its source and stuff like that. But it's like, I don't know. I put out a feeler to her as well to see like, could somebody like have brought something, you know, to the ranch that's like contaminated the whole area? Like, what would that require? So it's a whole mess. But also, you know, radiation is not something to just like casually just note like, oh, there's radiation, like, and people's heads are swelling up or people are getting burns or whatever. No, like, you don't want to fuck around with radiation at all. Like, at all. Take it very seriously. And yeah, go watch Chernobyl, because it will just put you off any radioactive stuff forever.
I think that's all the show specific stuff that I have.
Okay. And you know, we focused on the show just because there's so many specific things in the show that are just like, you can debunk this right away, which is sort of McWest's point. But yeah, the ranch itself is a little bit more complicated, just because there's so much weird stuff. Although I was, you know, there's all this stuff about like, oh, there's like portals or whatever opened up to some other dimension and like stuff coming out of them, and potentially the UFO activity is related to that. And they didn't, you know, nobody saw any portals or predator like creatures or skinwalkers or whatever.
Too bad though.
I know, like, that was what I wanted to see. I was tired of all this radiation stuff, and yeah, I was like, let's see the good stuff. But yeah, so they there's all that history behind the ranch, which, you know, is pretty much hearsay. And I was actually listening I've listened to so many podcasts lately, so many spooky podcasts. But I was listening to one talking about a possible explanation for ghosts being that they are beings that are living in a parallel dimension to ours and are somehow interacting with our dimension or like bleeding through to our dimension. And I guess this is like a whole theory. Like, it's called the Paranormal Unified Field Theory, or PUFT, which was originally proposed by this big, or at least was like kind of born in the ideas of this French astronomer named Jacques Vallée, who was like, he's like the grandfather of like UFOlogy. So yeah, but like that it's like this, you know, technologically mediated extra dimensional intelligence is what they say. And all the weird creatures that you've seen, all the other weird shit on the ranch, like the predator type creature and the skinwalker and all this. So he proposes, and this is a quote from thinkanomalous.com, but he proposed the existence of a technologically mediated extra dimensional intelligence that has operated throughout human history, masquerading as creatures of myth and legend in the witnesses' culture. So like this is, it's UFOs who like know how to alter, I don't know, dimensions, who are like masquerading as skinwalkers. This intelligence has repeatedly manifested itself in the form of a technologically or spiritually advanced civilization unreachable by humans and just outside the understanding of the witnesses. It has evolved its appearance to keep up with our changing worldview and ever-expanding technological capabilities, but always represents what's just ahead of us in our vision of the future. So like that paranormal unified field theory, I think he expands, but other people expand into like this, yeah, this unified theory that like all paranormal phenomena, which like are all happening on the ranch, are basically like all part of the same like non-human interdimensional intelligence or whatever. So, yes. So like that's where we land on, I guess, everything else that's going on the ranch. So looping back to this other podcast episode I was listening to that was talking specifically about ghosts, and which I think was a Science Versus episode, and you know, could ghosts actually be interdimensional beings that are like, you know, bleeding through from some parallel universe to ours? And she talks to a theoretical physicist, which is amazing, and asks like, well, what would that require? And initially, this woman says, okay, well, you know, maybe if there was a black hole in this parallel dimension, like specifically in the spot where this weird stuff is happening, it could like maybe alter gravity in our dimension. But like then, so she says that, and then later they come back to her and she's like, no, that's not even a thing. So so yes. And I was like, oh, that's really cool, like that could be cool. And then later she comes back to it. I think she like calls her at the end of the podcast and is like, I just wanted to wrap back to this, like that's not a thing,
that's not a thing.
Yeah, like, that's not, yeah. So yeah, anyway, that's my thoughts about what's happening on the rest of the ranch. I was obsessed with the past month. My whole life has been Skinwalker Ranch.
Well, are you happy now that Elliot recommended it? Because initially you were pissed.
I was pissed because it made me watch the show, but like now that I feel like I have, between this and then episode 3 on UFOs, like, oh my gosh, I feel embedded in the like UFO conspiracy theory, whatever, paranormal community. So
you are one now.
We are one.
Does that wrap it up? Because if so, we have a game to play.
Oh God. Well, yeah, two games to play. Right? Although, well, I think yeah, like the answer is pretty much the same. Both of them.
Potentially. Well, it all started because We were finishing up the finale, and I don't know if everybody's played Marry, Fuck, Kill, but it's one of our favorite games to play. So I asked Megan that about what I, some of these, what I'm calling characters on the show. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to play Marry, Fuck, Abducted by Aliens, or Probed by Aliens, which is what Megan said.
Yeah, because Paige thought it was too mean to play Marry, Fuck, Kill with these people. But she was okay with Marry, Fuck, Abducted by Aliens. And I suggested Probed by Aliens. But my initial thing was like Mutilated by Aliens. And I was like, well, I guess that's still killing. So
that's still killing. Yeah, we're not killing anybody. Okay, so okay.
Who are my options?
Two groups.
Oh, two your groups? First, oh my god.
I have two groups, yeah. If you have any additional ones, we can keep going. But I gotta write my this first down. My first three are Tragus. Sorry. Don't know who that is. Okay. Travis, okay. Fugal, and Dragon.
Okay. Okay. Do you want the other three? No, let's do that one first. Okay. So, and this one's kind of obvious, I think. So it's Travis, who's the scientist that they bring in specifically for this show, in case you all are following along at home. Brandon Fugel is the owner of the ranch. and then Dragon, whose real name is Bryant Arnold, but he goes by Dragon, is the muscle on the ranch. So he is the armed guard, who's very butthurt that he doesn't have a PhD.
and very upset about digging.
Yes, very upset about digging. Okay, so my answer, and the only correct answer, is Dragon gets abducted by aliens. Because that guy's the worst. And then I think the only way to do this is you marry Brandon because you're Brandon Fugel because, like, he's got the money. And then I think you have to fuck Travis.
See, I think that I would definitely have to marry
Travis.
Oh, he's freaking terrible. He's terrible. After listening to the Mick West interview, I think I could marry Brandon. I think I would be
most okay with
that marriage. I'll be honest, though. I think I'm hate fucking Dragon.
No!
and Travis is getting abducted.
I can't do it. He's the worst.
He's terrible, but... I think that's what I'm doing. I think that's my answer.
Disagree.
It's a tough one though. Disagree. I mean, really, really, they're all
getting abducted
by aliens. You have
to go the rest of your life then knowing that you had sex with a man who chooses to call himself Dragon.
Hey, maybe I'll find out why he calls himself that.
Do you think that he makes women call his penis Dragon? okay, who's the second
group? Number two.
Oh my god.
Eric Bard.
Oh god.
Tom Winterton and Jim Segala, which this one's tough.
Oh, this one's fuck.
I mean, I know who I'm marrying for sure.
Oh, yes. Okay, so for those of you following along at home, again, Eric Bard is the primary investigator. So he is like Brandon's numero uno scientist on the ranch.
I texted Megan yesterday, and what did I say? I was like, Eric looks like a kid who got lost at an amusement park.
Yes.
Or he lost his parents at an amusement park.
Which I loved because it's absolutely correct. Like, his face and his demeanor is just almost kind of like, he's very confused. He doesn't know what's going on. Like, he just wants to find his parents and go home. Okay. Then Tom Winterton is like the caretaker or something for the ranch.
I don't really know what ranch. He does. He's the one with the neurological thing that's going on.
Yes. So he's the one poor man who had the like swelling between his scalp and his skull that they had no explanation for. And yeah, he's like some kind of manager for the ranch or something like that. But yeah, okay. And then Jim is the other scientist who's like sort of just there.
Right. He pops up every once in a
while. He doesn't really make too much of a impression. This is hard. Do you know what yours is for this one?
I know who I'm marrying. I'm definitely marrying Tom.
Yeah, that's like 100%. Like, precious Thomas. Like, he's just, it's got to be Mary Tom. But, like, then your choices are Eric or Jim. I guess, like, the lesser of two evils is I've got to fuck Jim. And then Eric is going to get abducted.
Yeah, I kind of agree. But, like, poor Eric, you know? Just a little lost child. But, like, probably, yeah, he's going to get abducted.
I think of the three, he's the worst one. I mean, Jim and I, you know, I don't really think Jim's going to rock my world or anything, but he's better than the alternative. yep. All right. Well, and then we were going to do favorite and least favorite character, but I feel like that kind of answered it. Because least favorite,
right, we already know.
Yeah, like favorite is precious baby Thomas. And then
so sweet.
Least favorite is dragon.
Who is your second to least favorite though? Because like
it's probably Travis.
Mine is definitely Travis.
Yeah. I love how we're calling them characters like they're not real life people. Actual who people. Exist. It's like we're just making ourselves feel better for being assholes to them.
Right.
But honestly, whatever. You don't go on the show and
expect people to be nice
people
to you.
Take you seriously. Okay, so I don't really know what we accomplished here, but rather than doing our kind of short segment at the end, we did Mary fuck abducted by aliens, which should become a regular segment, by the way.
I don't disagree. Because I like this way better than the something creepy or whatever. I mean, that's cool too, but
yeah. Okay, so we're gonna sign off then, right?
Yeah. All right, well, that wraps up episode 5. Tune in next time for a discussion on Bigfoot. If you like this episode, hit subscribe and share with a friend. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Spooky SciPod, Facebook at Spooky Science Sisters, and at our website at SpookyScienceSisters.com. If you have any questions about previous topics or ideas for future episodes, email us at SpookyScienceSisters@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Stay spooky.